Wow, 9:45 service. You guys are ready to rock. Who's ready to get into the Word of God this morning? I certainly am. And I don't know if you know this, but God's Word is living and active. Amen. God's Word is, it's a living, breathing document. It changes us. It shapes us. It transforms us from the inside out. And man, I'm excited to dig in today. So let's pray and ask that the Lord would be in this message. So Father, I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you're moving, that you're speaking. God, would you continue to speak through your word today? God, we look to your word for guidance, for instruction. We look to your word as the actual words of the creator of the universe. We don't look at it just as a historical document, which it is. But God, we look to it as our source. We look to it as the words of a living God who is in this room right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would do something powerful in somebody today. Open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds to receive the word of the Lord. Let it not be my words, but yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk to somebody today about delaying or missing out on an opportunity. Has anybody ever missed out on an opportunity before? Maybe something that kind of came your way that would have been really cool had you actually acted on the opportunity, but you kind of just missed out on it. We'll be in Acts chapter 24, by the way, if you want to go ahead and get your Bibles out and turn there. But man, maybe there was an amazing house that popped up. If you're looking for a home, I know the market has been kind of crazy the last couple of years, and maybe you're looking for a home, but you waited too long to put in an offer on the house, and so it sold, and you didn't get the house that you wanted. You didn't get the land that maybe you wanted. Maybe you waited too long to get a ticket to the UT game yesterday, but it was sold out. You know what I'm saying? Man, it was a good one too. But you waited too long, and now they're all sold out. Maybe you waited too long to get to the airport. Anybody ever done that before? At Austin, you're trying to get to Austin Airport. You think, you know what? I got time. And then you show up, and it is just the one day. You know what I mean? You know that kind of day. It's like, oh, Lord, the second you pull up, you already know this was a mistake. I delayed. I waited too long. And the plane takes off without you. Oh, man, listen, why did you wait? Why did you delay? Why, you could have just got up a little bit earlier, you know? But then you get there 2.5-3 hours early, you know, and then you just sit around and do nothing. You know what I'm talking about? But the one time you waited, it is, you know how it is. Sometimes there's a good thing in front of you, but you delay and you miss out on that opportunity. And in 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, "For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now." Today, somebody say today,
is the day
of salvation. Listen, friend, I don't want you to delay on what God has for you in your life this morning. Amen? Man, someone's holding out on God, I believe, today. Somebody in this room. God told me there'd be somebody in every service, in all four services today. That there's somebody that's been delaying a decision for Jesus. Or somebody that's been holding out on God. He's invited you to a date and you've been standing him up. You've been resisting. And I just believe that God is saying to somebody in this room, today is the day of salvation. Amen? Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year. But today is the day of salvation. So today, I'm here to talk to somebody about Jesus. Today, there's someone here that needs to give their life to him, and you haven't done it just yet. You're holding out. You're delaying the decision to give everything to him. And you know what? I am unapologetically going to talk to somebody in this room that hasn't given their life to Jesus yet. You know what? I think all of us that have given our lives to Jesus are going to be okay with that. Are we not? Are we good? Somebody say amen, right? Because at one point, you needed that message, right? Oh, at one point, I needed that message. And there was a time when I needed the message of Jesus just laid out plain for me. And listen, I'm here to talk to that person today. And all of us that have experienced the love and the grace of God already, listen, I want you to be supportive. I want you to amen as if you're about to give your life to Jesus again. All right, come on now. So I want to encourage you with this today. Don't delay. That's the title of the message. Don't delay. Today is the day. Somebody say, don't delay.
Don't delay.
Today is the day. Today, somebody's going to get free. Amen? Today, someone's going to walk out of here changed. Today, someone is putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So don't delay. Today is the day of salvation. Yes. And so today, we're going to be in Acts chapter 24. We've skipped a few chapters, though. And I think we need to catch up. I need to make sure that you know what's going on. We've been in the book of Acts for 9 months now. Isn't that crazy? I'm a little sad to announce, but we only have this week and then next week left. And then we're done in the book of Acts. We're almost at the end. I know. It has an ending. Like, we're almost there. All right. But we skipped a few chapters, and we just need to catch up. So Paul has left Ephesus, okay? You remember when we went through the story of Paul gathering the Ephesian elders together, and he said, guys, I got to leave. The Holy Spirit's calling me to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm never going to be back here again. And they all cried. It was so sad. And he said, I know it's going to be tough for me when I get there. And then in another message a few weeks ago, we talked about how people were trying to tell him, don't go, right? You have this prophetic word, and everybody's saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And he's like, guys, you're misunderstanding the prophetic word. God has given me a word, and I have to act on this word. I'm going to go, amen? Sometimes God gives you a word, and no one else is going to understand, and you got to just go with what God says. And so he leaves, and he travels many places on the way back to Jerusalem. When he arrives, he goes to the temple. He's going to try to worship there. People are saying, hey, isn't that Paul? Isn't that that guy that's preaching about this Jesus? You got to remember, it's a bunch of Jews here, and they're not really accepting Jesus. Remember, they killed him, right? And so you're like, hey, this is that dude Paul that keeps talking about Jesus all the time. And so a mob starts, and a riot starts, and he gets arrested. And Paul, sometimes he's a little bold, maybe a little dumb, but it's all for Jesus, okay? And he says, you know what? I'm going to talk to the people. He's like, can I please talk to the people? Talking to the guards. He's like, all right, whatever. And so he goes out and talks to the people and starts sharing his testimony with them and how God saved him on the road to Damascus and all this stuff. Incredible how he changed from Saul to Paul and kind of this like shift in a sense, right? And so then he gets to this point where he says, but then God sent me to the Gentiles, to the people that aren't Jews, to tell them about Jesus and said, hey, no. That's where they drew the line right there. They said, nope, we're done. This guy doesn't deserve to live. Nope. And so he gets put in prison. He goes before the high priest, Ananias. He makes his defense there. He can't really find anything necessarily wrong that he did. And he goes to this other person. And he basically gets put back in prison. And then there's a plot on his life. The Jews get together. And they say, you know what? We're going to make a vow that we're not going to eat or drink anything until we kill Paul. Until he's dead. We're not going to eat or drink anything. But luckily, it's found out. Okay, this plot is found out. And so it's told to the authorities, and then they make a safe passage for Paul to get to the governor. He goes to the next level, and his name is Felix, the governor. And so he goes before the governor, finally, after a few days, and the high priest Ananias comes in all of his pomp and with his crew and everything and trying to make it seem like he knows what's up. And he starts accusing Paul of all of these ridiculous things. He said, Paul has been stirring up the people. He's been causing riots. He went into the temple. He desecrated the temple. And he's the one that actually caused this huge riot. And Paul basically looks at him and he's like, man, what are you talking about? No, Mr. Governor, sir, that is not how this happened at all. I didn't do any of these things. In fact, I have alibis. I got receipts, okay? Because I've only been here for 12 days and they could corroborate that story. He's pulling out receipts. And he's like, they can corroborate this story. I only had 12 days. There's no way I could have organized this crazy huge insurrection and all this mob and everything. I've only been here for like a week and a half. And the governor's like, yeah, that's a good point. You know, and so like he basically realizes that he can't prove that he did this or didn't do this. They can't prove it. And so the governor's like, well, okay, let's figure this out. So Acts 24:22 is where we pick up. It'll be on the screen for you if you need it. It says, then Felix, the governor, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. When Lysias, the commander, comes, he said, I will decide your case. He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. So it says Felix was well acquainted with the way. What is the way? Well, that's what they called people that followed Jesus at the time. Remember, they didn't have the term Christian yet, okay? They hadn't really started to be called Christians yet, and so they would just say, you know what, we are followers of the way, followers of the way. So Felix he's been around some people who are Christians. It says he was well acquainted with the way. So he definitely knows some people that believe in Jesus. He's heard the stories. He's heard about the miracles. He's been around and he's heard what Jesus has been doing. In fact, he might have even been preached to by Philip the evangelist. Philip lived in the same town of Caesarea as him. Caesarea is not some huge city or anything like that. So he probably knows Philip personally even and has been preached to by these people. And another reason we know that he was well acquainted with the way is that his wife Drusilla is Jewish. And if you're a Jew living in that area at that time, you know who Jesus is, right? Word has been getting out. The church has been growing like crazy. People are talking about this Jesus and all the miracles. And so she's very interested in what Paul has to say as well. So here's the problem. Felix knows that Paul is innocent, but he delays his decision about Paul. He knows about Jesus, but he delays his decision on what he's going to do with the message of Jesus. He's delaying all of his decisions. He's just putting them off till later. How many of y'all put some stuff off? You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to put it off until later. I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to procrastinate on this thing. I'm going to procrastinate on that. But listen, in Acts 24:24, it says, several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about his faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, that's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you. So he goes to visit Paul and he listens to him talk about Jesus. And it says, as Paul is talking, that he becomes afraid. In fact, what it says is that he, in another translation, if you look at that word, it means that he trembled. He was truly afraid. He was scared. Physically shaking. And what is that all about? Well, I believe that's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Come on now. Psalm 119 says, my flesh trembles in fear of you. I am in awe of you. Man, there is that good and healthy fear of the Lord sometimes, right? And I believe that that was the conviction of the Holy Spirit. God was moving on his heart, but instead of responding to the good news about Jesus, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to delay that decision again. He's going to put it off. He say, you know what? I got more time to think about it. I'll think about it later. When it's convenient, I will send for you. And then maybe we could talk about this again. I might ruffle some feathers today, but you know that that's what I do. I'll come to church when it's convenient for me. I'll serve when it's convenient for me, Pastor, okay? I'm going to give when it's convenient for me to give and when I feel like I have enough and when I'm able to do that. I'm going to do it when it's convenient for me. I'm going to go to God when I need something and when it's convenient for me to do so. In fact, that's why he keeps going to Paul. He was just hoping to get something from him. Check this out in verse 26. At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. So he sent for him frequently to talk with him. This dude was just trying to get paid, y'all. He just wanted a bribe. You got to think, this is politics, okay? You know what I mean? Like, somebody's getting paid off, all right? You know? I understand we're about to go into an election. Be careful, Pastor, okay? You know what I'm saying? Just be careful. Don't go through. We're not messing with that today. But somebody's getting paid, you know what I mean? He was trying to get money out of Paul. Paul's just trying to get Jesus into him, you know? And Acts 24:27, it says, when 2 years had passed, this goes on for 2 years. Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. Are you for real, sir? You're going to leave him in prison? You know he's innocent. What are you doing? 2 years of this goes by, seeing Paul, not seeing Paul, knowing that he's innocent, but he can't make a decision about it. He can't execute him because he knows he's innocent, right? He can't do it. But he also can't release him because then the Jews would be very upset. And if you have a huge group of Jews that get upset, there might be a mob and there might be a riot. And then he might have some big problems with the higher-ups in Rome. And so he feels like he can't make a decision. So what does he do? He does what most of us do in a difficult situation, in a difficult decision that we have. Sometimes you say, well, I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm not really sure what I need to do. I'm just going to do nothing. And he delays his decision. It's 2 years of hearing about Jesus, but not making a decision about Jesus. Hearing the gospel time and time again, listening to the testimonies from Paul about Jesus and the miracles and all the things he's done, 2 years of the church continuing to grow. 2 years of people saying yes to Jesus left and right. He probably meets more and more Christians every single day. More and more people being saved. But here's Felix delaying his decision again. Here's Felix not making a decision. He never decides to follow Jesus. And there's a lot of things that we like to delay on, right? There's a lot of things that we procrastinate on. I was a grade A homework procrastinator. Anybody else? Come on now. You procrastinate on that homework? That was me. Listen, my mom would have to get on to me so many times. Even I was in college and I was married, and Lindsay would have to be like, Trev, you got to get your homework done. You know what I mean? Like, it was tough. I was in Bible college trying to do this. I'm like typing all these papers. How many of y'all, like the paper is due at midnight and you are up and it's 11:52 and you're just like, let's go, Red Bull, you know, let's get this. That was me, okay? Like, I'll be with you on that one. There's some other things that we delay. Maybe now that we're adults in the room, we don't do that anymore. We definitely don't delay doing taxes, right? No, we would never do that. Maybe some of y'all delay doing. I remember when I was 18, 19, 20, I first started to have to do taxes, and I would wait till the last minute. Now, how many of y'all get your taxes done like in January? Come on, let me see. You get them done early, early. Man, all you people, y'all are so annoying. You know what I mean? But we need you. We need people like you guys. We really do. We really do. I need you, okay, in my life, for sure. Guys, a lot of times we delay going to the doctor, right? Do we not? We delay going to the doctor. And you know what it is? Your wife is just like hitting you in the side right now. She's like, I know you have high blood pressure because you're angry all the time yelling at me and the kids. You need to get yourself into that doctor's office and let her tell you because you're obviously not listening to me. We delay going to the doctor. Maybe you delay responding to emails. Come on now. Anybody have more than 1,000 emails in your inbox right now? Let me see. Come on now. Wow. There's a lot of you in this one. How many of you have more than, I'm just going to, big number, but I believe it. Okay, some of y'all are nervous. How many of you have more than 100,000 emails in your inbox right now? And don't even lie to me. Really, Nikki? For real? You guys, for real? There's, oh my goodness, that's wild. 100,000 emails. Listen, we delay things. We delay things. We put them off. But if there's one thing I would say, don't delay. It is to make the decision to follow Jesus. Amen? Do not delay. Why? Because tomorrow is not promised, y'all. We do not have the promise of tomorrow. It says that life is like a vapor. It's like a mist. It's here one day, and it's gone tomorrow. Listen, you don't know what tomorrow holds, so don't delay the decision to follow Jesus today. Why? Because today is the day of salvation. Amen? Listen, I'm going to tell you three things that delay will do in your spiritual life. If you delay, these are three things that are going to happen. The first one is delay quiets the voice of God. Delay quiets the voice of God. In our neighborhood that we live in, we have a lot of door-to-door salesmen. And you know those signs that say no soliciting? Well, we get a lot of soliciting, okay? Well, there's a lot of solicitation going on at our door because we don't have one of those signs. Maybe we should. But usually they'll come to the door and they'll knock or they'll ring the doorbell or something like that. And then they wait, you know, 10 to 15 seconds, a reasonable time to wait. And then when they realize that we're not coming to the door to answer, they will eventually leave and move on. But every once in a while, there'll be a guy that just does a little too much. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? You ever have one of those guys? Just a little more than you probably should have, okay? Like, he just maybe loves his job. I don't know why. You know, he loves his job or really wants to make the sale. He's trying to make some money. You know, it's all good. But there was one time that I got home from work, and Lindsay told me the story of one of these salesmen that came by to the house that day. This dude rang the doorbell, stepped back and waited, okay, like usual, and Lindsay's sitting on the couch, okay, and she's just expecting, okay, this guy's eventually going to go away. And so then he does not. He comes back and hits her with the friendly knock, the little, as if that's going to change things, right, you know? And so he steps back, and after about 30 seconds had passed, which is a long time to wait, okay, he goes over to the window with our blinds that are open and makes direct eye contact with Lindsay, to which she gives him the stank face, like that's going to be the thing that gets me to open the door? And then he knocks again. Now that he knows that she's in there, he's like, I'm going to knock again. I know you're in there, lady. Like, that's so creepy at this point, right? And then eventually he just kind of like huffs and puffs and walks away, okay? Now, I can respect the hustle, okay? But that's a little excessive, right? That's a little much. He rang the doorbell, knocked on the door, went around to the side window, all to try to get the owner of the house to answer the door. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is talking, and he says this. Check this out. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. I believe that for someone here today, Jesus is standing at the door of your heart and he is knocking. I believe someone in this place today, Jesus is saying, here I am. Come on, please let me in. And this might be the first time that you've ever heard Jesus' voice before. This might be the first time you've ever felt the knocking of the Holy Spirit on your heart. For someone else, he's ringing the doorbell. He's making a second attempt. You didn't answer the first time. And so he's coming back, making that second friendly attempt with the doorbell. Maybe I'll get him with that, right? And he's saying, please, just listen to my voice. Like, would you please open the door? I love you. Like, I want a relationship with you. Like, I just want to come in and hang out. And like, why aren't you answering? For another person, Jesus is walking around to the window of your heart. He's making eye contact with you. And you're looking back at him like, he's like, please, like, come on, like, don't do this. Like, I died for you. Like, please, like, can you let me in? Like, I love you so much, and I want this relationship with you. Please, like, don't do this to me. Like, you're just going to make me wait out here. I have an amazing life for you. If you just open up the door and let me in. And maybe for someone else, you don't even hear Jesus knocking anymore. Why is that? Because he's left. His voice is quiet. You can't even hear him anymore. You can't even hear the knock anymore. And you've tuned him out. Why? Because delay quiets the voice of God. 1 Timothy says that God wants everybody to be saved. We believe that God wants every single person to have the salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus. The Bible also says that he is a jealous God, that he has the audacity to continue to knock and to knock and knock. He really, really wants this relationship with us. And so he speaks to us, but if we don't listen to his voice, if we don't answer the door, how long is he going to wait there? I'm not upset when I say this. I say all of this that I'm about to say to encourage somebody in this room today. But some of you, we've been in this series in the book of Acts for the last 9 months, okay? And some of you have sat in these seats for the last 9 months, and you are no different than when we started it. 9 months of truth, and you haven't done anything with it. You haven't let it sink in and change really who you are yet. 9 months of encouraging testimonies about giving and about generosity, and you're still not trusting God in your finances and giving to your local church. 9 months of opportunities to join us for a welcome party and to commit to a local church like the Bible encourages us to do, and you're still on the fence, like, I'm still just thinking about it, still just kind of checking things out, you know, delaying the decision. 9 months of chances to go through Serve 101 and to serve the best people on the best team and to serve the best God. Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. And listen, you've had 9 months to move from consumer to contributor, and we still haven't done it yet. We're delaying the decision. 9 months of messages on the power of the Holy Spirit. And guys, remember, what is the power of the Holy Spirit for? To be a witness. You remember this? To be a witness. And yet, we ain't witnessing. We haven't sent that text message. We haven't invited somebody to church. We haven't sat down at coffee and shared our faith with anybody. In the last 9 months, listen, 9 months of services where the presence of God has been here and you know it to be true and you've heard the gospel time and time again, but you maybe have delayed the decision to follow him. And if any of these things describe you today, then this message is for you because you've been delaying. Don't delay. Today is the day. Amen? Hebrews 3:15, it says, as it is said, today, if you hear his voice, if you're hearing his voice through this message at all, today, Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. What's the rebellion? It's talking about the Israelites. Don't let your heart be hardened like them. God's people time and time again did not listen to the voice of God. And over time, what ended up happening is their hearts became hardened to what God wanted to do in their lives. So delay quiets the voice of God, but delay also hardens the heart of man. Delay hardens the heart of man. In Psalm 81:11, it says, but my people would not listen to me. This is God talking about the Israelites. My people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me, so I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. This is a tough word today, but did you know that there comes a day where God says, you know what? I'm done. They don't want me. They don't want to listen to me. I've had enough. You want to do it your way? You want to try it out your way? Go for it. See what happens. You know how many times in the history of Israel that God was like, hey, listen, you guys are not following me. You're not listening to my voice. Go off and try it your way and see what happens. What happens? They get conquered. They get defeated. They go off and they start living these lives of immorality. And you look at what our nation looks like today, right? And you could tell that we are increasingly becoming a godless nation. And God is saying, you know what? He's knocking. Jesus is knocking, but we're not listening. And so eventually God's going to take his hand off. He said, you know what? You guys want to go your own way? Go for it. See what happens. And what we're seeing right now is what happens when God removes his hand and we're left to our own devices. Romans 1 talks about God giving people over to their sinful desires. That's pretty intense, is it not? You know what? They wanted it their way? Fine. I'm going to give you over to your own sinful desires. You see how that goes. And you know what that is? It's Jesus trying his last knock and then walking away. For those of you that have the 100,000 emails that you haven't responded to, I'm going to talk to you for a minute. I think we need an intervention. When it was at 1,000, did it bother you? Sure it did. Maybe a little bit. It's like, it's 1,000. Should probably clean that up, right? Feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit right here on the front row, you know what I'm saying? Miss Tammy is feeling it. you probably felt a little bit bad. It's like, it's 1,000. But when it got to 50,000, you're like, oh, Lord, you know, I really need to fix this. But when it got to 70, 80, 90, you know, at a certain point, it just kind of becomes easier to just, when it got to 100,000, by that point, you're like, whatever, you know? There's no way I can clean this up. Now, it's over. You ignored the inner prompting, and then it kept getting worse and worse and worse. And by the 100,000, you're like, that doesn't even matter anymore. Listen, every time you choose to not do what's right, it becomes a little bit easier to not do the right thing next time. Every time you pick up the bottle, it becomes a little bit easier to pick it up the next time, right? Every time you tell that lie, it becomes a little bit easier to tell the lie again the next time. Every time you ignore the voice of God, it becomes easier to ignore it the next time. And every time you push off your decision to get right with God, it makes it a little bit easier to push it off until the next time. Anybody understand? Anybody relating today? So I'm telling somebody here, don't delay. If God is speaking to you, don't delay to obey. Don't delay it. Don't let your heart get hardened by pushing God away. That's what happened to Pharaoh, y'all. Did you know that every single plague that hit Egypt was actually just an opportunity? Every bit of calamity was an opportunity for Pharaoh to repent and turn back to God, to turn to God. The first plague, God is knocking at the door. Pharaoh, come on. Come on, Pharaoh. Second one, God's knocking. Pharaoh, come on. Gets all the way through it. Finally, God says, all right, you've chosen your way. This is how it's going to go. But if your heart has become hardened, let me encourage you with this today. God can make it soft again. Come on now. We serve a God of second chances, do we not? Man, I'm grateful that God gave me a second chance. He gave you a second chance when you needed it in your life. Man, God is a God of second chances, and he is here knocking today. Let me encourage you. This message today is one example of Jesus knocking at the door of your heart. If you're sitting here right now, it's for a reason. Maybe you haven't given your life to God yet. Man, Jesus is knocking right here, right now. And so why would you wait? Because the last point I have for you today, the last thing that delay will do, we delay quiets the voice of God, right? Delay. Come on now, I just preached it. Thank you. Hardens. You got me. Hardens your heart. The last one is delay delays. Delay delays the blessings of God. It delays the blessings of God. When you delay repentance, you delay blessing. And listen, God wants to bless you not just tomorrow. God wants to bless you not just next week or next month or next year. God wants to bless you right now. Amen. I believe that in my heart. He has a blessing for you today, right now. He wants to give you purpose right now. He wants to give you victory in your life like we preached about last week. Right now. Listen, don't delay because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. But what I do know is that today, right now, God wants to bless somebody. And this is what the Word of God says in Acts 3:19. Check this out. Repent then, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That is a blessing and a promise that you can hold on to. All His promises are what? Yes and amen. This is a promise. Repent and turn to God. When you turn to God, your sins are wiped out, and then now you get a time of refreshing from the Lord. Man, I want to be refreshed by the Lord. Amen. How about you? This is for somebody that needs to say yes to Jesus for the first time, but this is for somebody that just needs to ask for forgiveness. We all need times of refreshing from the Lord. I need my sins to be blotted out. I need forgiveness from God. Jeremiah 5:25, your wickedness has deprived you of these wonderful blessings. Your sin has robbed you of all of these good things. There are good things that God wants to give you, but you got to turn to Jesus to get to them. Amen? Delay delays the blessings of God. Amen. I believe we serve a God who gives good gifts to His kids. Amen. He gives good gifts, and He wants to bless you, and He wants to help you in your life and give you that purpose, and He wants to help you find victory in your life the same way He wanted to help the Israelites find victory. But they said, God, we don't want you. We want to do it our way. He said, fine, have it your way. Defeat, 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 defeat. But when they would turn back to God, He would say, all right, you're going to do it my way? Okay, cool. Victory, 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 victory. Listen, how many times somebody in this room will you hear a family member or a friend invite you to church and you'll hear their testimony about what Jesus is doing in their life? How many times will it take before you say yes? How many times do you have to hear me preach before you'll say yes to Jesus? Like, how many sermons are you going to sit through? How many moments are you going to let pass you by? How many times will you feel the presence of God and not respond? How long will you let Jesus knock before you open the door? You might think, well, I guess God is done with me then, huh? Because I haven't been responding. And it's been a long time, and I've been maybe going to church, or maybe it's your first time to church in a long time, and you're like, ah. Maybe I'm too far gone. I don't know if God can do anything with me because Jesus has left. Remember, Pastor Trevor, you just said that there comes a time when God stops knocking. Watch this. There's a story about a young man called the prodigal son. And his dad has everything for him, and he's in the family, and the son says, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm not listening to you, Dad. I'm not going to listen to your voice. His heart was hardened. He takes his inheritance, and he leaves, and he goes and squanders all of his money. He goes and lives a life of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just does everything that he shouldn't be doing. It's all about women. It's all about the drugs, the alcohol, the parties, and all this kind of stuff. And he's living this life away from his father and away from his family. And he hardened his heart and he chose to leave. But then there comes a time when he says, you know what? This is awful. He's in a pigsty eating pig food. And he's just like, man, even my servants, even my dad's servants at my father's house live better than this. I guess I'm just going to go back and I'm going to say, Father, I'm not even worthy of being your son anymore. but like, I'll just be one of your servants. Like, that's all I want. I just want to be a servant. Can I go back? And so he makes this plan and he gets up and he starts on the journey back to the house. And he picks himself up and starts walking towards his father. And what does it say? It says that his father sees him far off down the road, and his dad gets out of the house, puts his clothes on, and runs out to meet his son. And he throws his arms around him, throws a cloak around him. It says that he actually is kissing him, and he's hugging him, and he's so excited, and he's just crying. And then his son is like, "Dad, I'm not even worthy to be your son anymore. I can't even be here. I'll just be one of your servants." He said, "Who are you? No, what are you talking about? You're my son. And I'm excited that you're here. In fact, we're going to throw a party because you have come back home." In the same way, somebody in this place, your heart might be hardened to God. You might not have made that decision for Jesus. And you might be living this kind of a life. But today, right now, if you would just say, "You know what? I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go towards God." I promise you right now, God will come and meet you in this place, and he will throw his arms around you, and he will share his radical love with you. Man, God loves you in this place today. He cares for you. He loves you so much, and he will welcome you back into the family. But you got to pick yourself up and say, "You know what? My heart's been hard, but God, will you soften it today? I haven't been able to hear your voice. I haven't been able to feel your presence, but God, I need this. I want this. I want more. I've been suffering defeat after defeat after defeat, and God, I want to share in the victory with you. God, would you change my life?" And I believe that God will do it for somebody here today. Don't delay your yes to God, because he's already said yes to you. Jesus dying on the cross was his yes. The Bible says that we love because he first loved us. While you were still sinners, Christ died for you. While you were all kinds of messed up, Jesus had already died for you. He had already said yes to you before you ever said yes to him. And when he rose again on the third day, he gave you the opportunity to share in his victory and to become a new creation, to become a different person than you could never be on your own. Listen, Jesus loved you enough to die for you on the cross so that you would be saved. So don't keep him waiting at the door. Don't delay like Felix did. Felix never gave his life to Jesus. In fact, he was recalled to Rome for mismanagement because he couldn't make a decision on anything. That's what history tells us. Don't be somebody that puts it off because you're not promised tomorrow. So I'm going to encourage somebody to say yes to Jesus today. Don't delay it anymore. Don't put it off like you put off your taxes. Don't put it off like you put off your homework. Don't put it off like you put off anything else. Listen, this is too important today. And Jesus is here and he's knocking at your door. Man, do not delay. Don't let him keep knocking, because there might come a day when it sounds like this and you can't hear it anymore. Would you stand with me today? Like I said, I'm talking to somebody in this room that hasn't given their life to Jesus. Unapologetically, I'm preaching to that person today. And I would encourage you to give your life and your heart to Jesus. All you got to do, it's not a special prayer or anything you got to say. It's just, the Bible says if you believe in Jesus and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, that you'll be saved. What does that mean? It just means that, hey, I got to believe that Jesus died for me, that I'm a sinner and I need a savior, right? He died for you, that he rose again. And then you just got to receive the love of God. That's it. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask, is there anybody in this room today that would like to get right with God, that would like to say yes to him, maybe even for the first time? Maybe you want to recommit your life to Jesus. Do not delay. Don't wait. Today is the day of salvation. And if that's you, on the count of three, I would ask you to raise your hand and just look up at me, so I can know who I'm praying with. I want to make eye contact with you. I want to know, hey, today is the day of your salvation. Amen. I want to pray for you. So if that's you, 1, 2, 3, would you raise your hand and look up at me? Come on, I see you. I see you, my man. So good. So good. Oh, man, all over this place. Come on. Oh, my gosh. I love you. I love you. Oh, man. Man, amazing. Come on now. You guys, so cool. Come on, God is working all over this room. Come on, man. Yes, yes, I see you guys. I see you right here, man. Come on. God is good, yeah? Oh, man. Okay, you guys can put your hands down. It's about I count at least 15 people saying yes to Jesus. Come on, can we give God praise for a second, Lord? God, we love you. We thank you, Jesus. You're worthy. We're not delaying, Lord. Come on, all over this room, would you bow your heads with me? I'm going to pray for us today. God, we're not delaying the decision anymore. We're saying yes to you, Lord. Maybe for somebody in this room that already believes in you, God, but maybe they've been delaying a decision. They've been delaying the doing good that you've asked them to do. Your word says that when we delay doing good that we know we should do, that it's actually sin for us. So, Lord, I pray for a Christian in here today that's been delaying to do something good. And Lord, I pray that they would be able to say yes to you, not delay that decision any longer. But God, I am so pumped, and all of heaven is celebrating right now, and we're going to celebrate along with you, that there is at least 15 people in this room right now that are not delaying this decision any longer, but that are saying yes to you, Jesus. They're giving their life to you. And so God, I pray that they would now start to share in the victory that you won on the cross. God, you are good. You've taken all of their sins. Even right now, you're taking their sin and you're pulling it out of them and you're throwing it as far as the east is from the west. God, you're gonna make them a new creation. They're a new person now. In the name of Jesus, we declare that over them. As they put their trust and their faith in you, God, would you show up in their life in a powerful way. And we love you and we thank you. We put our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God a big shout of praise. Put our hands together today. We're not delaying anymore. Come on, today is the day.